Welcome to Money is Freedom, a podcast exploring how finance and freedom connect in our lives. Created from thoughtful research and narrated by Notebook LM AI, this series brings you clear, meaningful insights into finance and beyond. Welcome back to episode 37, where we dive into a financial thriller unfolding as we speak. Picture this. The U.S. economy is estimated to shrink at a shocking minus 1.5%. Investors are more scared than during the COVID crash, and Trump's tariffs are throwing fuel on the fire. Are we headed for a recession, or is this just a bump in the road? Grab your coffee because we're unpacking the data, the drama, and what it all means for your wallet. Let's get into it.
Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. And today, we are going to be taking a look at the U.S. economy in 2025.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time right now. There's there's some conflicting signals out there.
Definitely some mixed messages.
A lot of anxiety among investors.
Yeah, a lot of anxiety. And we're going to dig into all of that. So to set the scene a little bit, you know, we've got the S&P 500 hitting record highs.
Yeah, it's been a great run for the market. But at the same time, we've got this, you know, potential recession looming on the horizon.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a head scratcher, right? Like everyone's bracing for a downturn.
Right.
But the market's telling us something different, at least for the moment.
Exactly. And that's what's so interesting is that despite the market's success, investor sentiment is like extremely bearish.
Yeah. That's the big paradox. So
yeah.
why is there this fear factor? What's behind it?
Well, according to the AAII sentiment survey, which tracks investor sentiment, a whopping 60.8% of investors are bearish right now.
60.8% bearish.
Which is huge. I mean, to give you some context, that level of pessimism is usually only seen during like major market crashes.
Wow. Okay.
So it's definitely noteworthy.
Yeah. So what is driving this? What is going on? Is it just, you know, a knee-jerk reaction to, you know, the possibility of a recession, or is there something deeper going on here?
I think it's a little more nuanced than that. This fear feels different from what we saw in 2020, for example, at the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I mean, back then there was a lot of panic too.
Sure.
But there were also, you know, some pretty strong government safety nets in place.
Right.
You know, remember the CARES Act?
Yeah, yeah.
The Fed also, you know, slashed interest rates really quickly.
Right.
Which helped the market rebound very quickly.
Yeah. I think I remember, you know, there was a sense that at least the government was going to step in.
Right.
And, you know, try to cushion the blow.
Exactly.
So are you saying that we shouldn't expect that this time around?
Well, the Fed's options are a little bit more limited now because, you know, we're already grappling with inflation.
Well,
right.
And, you know, the lack of those safety nets that we saw in 2020 is definitely contributing to the current anxiety among investors.
Right.
I mean, they're feeling a lot more exposed this time around.
Yeah, no safety net.
It feels riskier.
Yeah, that makes sense. And to complicate matters further, we have the wild card of Trump's policies.
Of course.
And a lot of people are pointing to his tariffs as, you know, a major source of economic uncertainty.
Yeah, the tariffs are definitely a significant factor.
Okay. So can you kind of remind us, like, what's the deal with the tariffs? What's the purpose of them?
So right now we've got a 25% tariff on goods from Canada and Mexico.
Right.
And there's also, you know, plans for a 10% tariff on all imports.
Wow.
Not to mention, you know, a potential 60% tariff on Chinese goods.
Yeah, a lot of tariffs.
Yeah, a lot of tariffs flying around.
So what is the point? Like, why are we doing this?
Well, the stated goal is to protect American jobs.
Okay.
And, you know, encourage companies to bring manufacturing back to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. But the unintended consequences are starting to show.
Right.
Well, higher prices for consumers, for one.
Yeah, yeah, I think I've noticed that. Everything seems more expensive these days.
Exactly. The Institute for International Economics estimates that these tariffs could add between $2,600 and $7,600 to the average household's annual expenses.
That's crazy. That's a big chunk of change.
So you're right. Consumers are definitely feeling the pinch.
Yeah.
And there's another consequence that's causing a lot of concern, and that is the impact on GDP.
You're talking about the recent GDP bombshell, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Fed's GDP Now estimate.
Yeah.
For the first quarter of 2025, took a nosedive.
Yeah.
It went from a positive 3.9% to a negative 1.5%.
Yeah, that's a big drop.
That was a big surprise.
Yeah. And while we technically need two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth to officially declare a recession.
Okay.
This sharp drop is definitely a red flag.
So is it all about the tariffs? What is causing this?
Well, the decline in net exports is definitely a major factor. And that's largely driven by the tariffs.
Right.
You know, when goods become more expensive because of tariffs,
yeah,
it reduces demand for those goods.
Okay.
Which leads to a decline in exports.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we've got this mix of, you know, slowing economic growth,
yeah,
extremely high levels of investor fear, and then these tariffs are kind of adding to the uncertainty. It's no wonder everyone's feeling a bit uneasy.
Yeah, it's definitely a time for caution.
Yeah.
But also a time to be informed.
Okay. Good advice. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what we can do to be informed and how we can navigate this uncertain economic landscape.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember that these economic, you know, shifts rarely impact everyone equally.
Right.
I mean, some industries are going to be, you know, more vulnerable than others.
Right.
So, you know, while the overall picture might seem a bit gloomy, the impact on your personal finances will really depend on your, you know, specific circumstances.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to get swept up in the headlines and kind of forget that the economy is made up of lots of different moving parts.
Exactly.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of Trump's other economic policies.
Okay.
We've talked about the tariffs.
Right.
But there's also his push for tax cuts, deregulation, changes to immigration policy, and his attempts to influence the Federal Reserve.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
You're all interconnected, which makes it even more complex.
Very complex.
Mm-hmm.
Can we start with the tax cuts? Mm-hmm. I know Trump's been talking about extending the 2017 tax cuts.
Mm, right.
Maybe even making them bigger.
Potentially.
What are the implications of that? What could happen?
Well, on the surface, tax cuts, you know, sound appealing.
Yeah.
Right? Because they put more money in people's pockets.
Right.
Which can stimulate spending and boost the economy.
Right.
In the short term.
Right.
But there's a potential downside. The Congressional Budget Office has projected that extending these tax cuts could add a whopping $4.5
trillion. $4.5
trillion. To the national debt.
Wow.
Over the next decade.
Didn't Congress just raise the debt ceiling to $40 trillion?
They did. Yeah. So the timing of this is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's a delicate balancing act.
Right.
You know, the potential benefits of short-term economic stimulus have to be weighed against the long-term risks of increasing the national debt.
Yeah.
Which can lead to things like higher borrowing costs.
Okay. So it's kind of a gamble.
It is a bit of a gamble.
What about deregulation? I know that's another big part of Trump's economic agenda.
Yeah, he's a big believer in that.
He seems to believe that, you know, cutting red tape will unleash economic growth.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there is some evidence to support that idea.
Okay.
We did see a surge in business confidence, you know, during Trump's first term, which some economists attribute to deregulation. You know, it can certainly foster a more business-friendly environment,
right,
leading to potentially increased investment.
So less regulation could actually be a good thing for the economy.
It's possible, but it's important to note that deregulation alone might not be enough to offset the other economic headwinds that we're facing,
right?
Like the tariffs and the global slowdown.
Right.
And it's also important to remember that regulations often serve a purpose.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, like protecting consumers or the environment.
Right. It's about finding the right balance.
Exactly.
Now, what about immigration? I know Trump's plan to increase deportations has been a very hot button issue.
Yeah, very controversial.
What kind of economic impact could that have?
Well, the potential impact on the labor market is a big concern, especially in industries like agriculture and services that rely heavily on immigrant labor.
Right.
So, you know, if there are fewer workers available, wages could go up.
Okay.
Which sounds good for workers, but it could also lead to higher prices for consumers.
Right.
Further fueling inflation.
Right. So again, it's like kind of this, you know, potential positives and negatives.
Yeah. It's hard to predict.
Yeah. It's hard to say what the ultimate outcome is going
to
be.
And to add another layer of complexity.
Oh, God.
We have Trump's history of publicly criticizing the Federal Reserve.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to influence interest rates.
Yeah. He's not shy about that.
Not at all.
How is that impacting the current situation?
Well, it creates a lot of uncertainty, which is never good for the markets.
Right.
The Fed is trying to balance slowing economic growth with rising inflation.
Okay.
And they've hinted at rate cuts.
Okay.
But Trump's policies, especially the tariffs, are putting upward pressure on prices.
Right.
Which could complicate the Fed's decision making.
So it's like a tug of war.
It's a bit of a tug of war, yeah.
Between the Fed and the White House, with the economy caught in the middle.
Caught in the crossfire.
And all of this is happening against a backdrop of slowing global growth.
All right. That's right.
I mean, both Europe and China are projected to experience slower economic growth in 2025.
Yeah, the U.S. is not alone in facing these challenges.
Yeah.
We're all interconnected.
Right.
And economic shifts in one part of the world
yeah.
can have ripple effects globally.
Okay. So we've got a pretty complex economic picture here.
We do.
We have slowing growth both in the U.S. and globally.
Right.
High levels of investor fear and a lot of uncertainty surrounding Trump's policies.
Uh-huh.
It's starting to feel a bit like storm clouds gathering on the horizon.
Yeah, the outlook is not great.
Is it time to start panicking?
I don't think panicking is ever a good strategy.
Okay.
But I do think it's important to be aware of the potential risks.
Okay.
And to take steps to prepare for whatever might come next.
So what should we be doing to prepare? You know, batten down the hatches, stock up on canned goods.
Well, maybe not canned goods.
Okay.
But there are definitely some practical things you can do.
Okay.
You know, remember, we're not officially in a recession yet. It's about being informed and proactive rather than reactive.
Okay. I like that.
So, you know, just because things are a little shaky right now
yeah.
doesn't mean you need to go into full panic mode.
Okay. So what kind of proactive steps are we talking about?
Well, one of the most important things is to stay informed.
Okay.
You know, keep an eye on economic news and data releases.
Okay.
And pay attention to what's happening in your industry and how your company might be affected.
Okay.
You know, knowledge is power, especially in uncertain times.
Got it. Stay informed. What else?
It's also a good time to review your personal finances.
Okay.
You know, make sure you have an emergency fund in case of, you know, job loss or unexpected expenses.
That's always good advice.
Yeah.
A recession or not.
Exactly.
What about investments? Should we be, you know, pulling our money out of the stock market?
That's where things get a bit more nuanced.
Okay.
You know, remember, the stock market is forward looking.
Right.
So it's already pricing in a lot of this uncertainty. Pulling out now might not be the best strategy.
So what are you suggesting? Like, ride it out?
It depends on your individual risk tolerance and investment goals.
Sure.
But remember that market downturns can present buying opportunities for long-term investors.
Okay. So maybe all this fear in the market isn't such a bad thing after all.
Right.
It's creating opportunities for those who are prepared to take advantage of them.
That's a good way to look at it.
Okay. But what about this stagflation buzzword?
Oh, yeah.
That keeps popping up. What exactly does that mean?
So stagflation is basically a combination of stagnant economic growth
okay.
and high inflation.
Okay.
It's a particularly tricky situation because the usual tools for fighting either slow growth or inflation often make the other worse.
Oh.
So, for example, lowering interest rates to stimulate growth can lead to even higher inflation.
That sounds like a lose-lose situation.
It can be, yeah. If the economy stalls while prices continue to rise,
yeah.
it can lead to, you know, a decline in living standards and create a sense of economic malaise.
So is stagflation a real possibility right now?
There's a lot of debate about that.
Okay.
Some economists argue that we're not in danger of stagflation because inflation expectations are anchored.
Okay.
Meaning people don't expect inflation to spiral out of control.
Right.
But others are concerned that Trump's tariffs, which are directly contributing to higher prices,
right.
could push us closer to a stagflationary scenario.
Okay.
So it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Okay. So uncertainty is the name of the game.
Pretty much.
We got a lot to think about.
We do.
A lot to keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
It's all a bit overwhelming, honestly.
I understand.
Like, what are the key takeaways here? It can definitely feel a bit overwhelming, you know, trying to make sense of all this economic data.
Yeah, it is a lot to digest.
Yeah, and conflicting signals.
Absolutely.
But I think you've done a great job of kind of breaking down, you know, the key factors at play.
Well, I appreciate that.
And highlighting what we should be paying attention to.
Hopefully it's helpful for folks.
Yeah. So let's bring it back to our listener.
Okay.
And you know what they can do to kind of navigate this uncertain economic landscape?
Right. It's all about, you know, focusing on what you can control.
Right.
You can't control what the Fed does or what policies the government implements.
Yeah.
But you can control your own financial decisions.
Absolutely. So what are some specific questions that our listeners should be asking themselves right now?
Well, first, you know, how might these economic trends that we've been discussing,
yeah.
particularly the potential for recession or continued inflation
right.
impact your personal financial situation?
Yeah.
Are you prepared if the economy takes a downturn?
Right.
Do you have a plan for managing your expenses if prices continue to rise?
That's a really important point. It's easy to get caught up in this like abstract discussion of the economy.
I know.
And forget to connect it to our own lives.
Right. It's got to be relevant.
Yeah. But ultimately, that's what matters most.
That's what it all comes down to.
Exactly. So, What are some other things? Like, what other questions should we be thinking about?
Well, the second question I would encourage our listeners to consider is, what specific economic indicators should you be watching to stay informed and make smart choices?
Okay.
Are you tracking, you know, GDP growth?
Okay.
Are you paying attention to inflation data?
Okay.
Are you following the Fed's decisions on interest rates?
It's about being informed and proactive, like you said.
Exactly.
The more you understand the forces at play,
right,
the better equipped you'll be to make, you know, sound financial decisions.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what the economy throws your way.
And remember, while economic uncertainty can be unsettling, it can also create some unique opportunities.
Oh, interesting.
For example, if the stock market does experience a correction, it could present a chance for long-term investors to buy stocks at a discount.
Okay.
Or if inflation continues to rise, certain assets like real estate or commodities
might perform well. Yeah. So there's a silver lining potentially.
Potentially, yeah. It's all about understanding the potential risks and rewards and making informed choices based on your individual circumstances.
Yeah, I love that perspective. It's not about panicking.
Right.
It's about empowering yourself with knowledge.
Right.
And using it to your advantage.
Exactly.
And I think that's a great note to end on.
I agree.
So thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the U.S. economy.
My pleasure.
We hope you found it insightful and helpful.
Absolutely.
Stay curious, stay informed, and remember, you've got this.
You got this.